go down to verse 8, and I can show this to you, verse 7 and of Joshua chapter 1. And it says, "Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee." Do you realize that Joshua and this group of Israelites, that they now have the Pentateuch, they have the Torah, they're the first ones to have it. And so the first five books of the Bible, Moses wrote them down as was given to him by the inspiration of God through the Holy Spirit. He wrote these things down. And now Joshua and these people that are going into the promised land, they are commanded, keep this book. And this set Joshua in a movement, a direction that many people today are looking for. And the question was this, is that, do you just read the Bible because you want to know more about it? Or are you on this great spiritual journey because you want to know more about the Lord our God? And the thing that we look at is this, is that, and the rest of the verse says this, "Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest." We oftentimes say that we don't believe in a prosperity gospel. And no, I'm not saying prosperity is about how much money you may get. Every time I drive by, I am literally enticed to go play the lottery because it's up to $320 million. How many of you could have used an extra $320? But guys, let me tell you something. Having all that money in your pocket is not going to make you prosperous. It might make you a bit richer, but it'll not make you prosperous. And that's because we misunderstand what prosperity is all about. Prosperity is, what can I leave behind in my journey? What is it that I've done that has made an impact upon others? What was interesting, Greg and I were talking yesterday, and I said, you know, it's interesting, we know of a man by the name of Thomas Edison, and he had a co-worker by the name of Nikola Tesla. I said, the more intelligent of the two was no doubt Nikola Tesla. We use Nikola Tesla's way of transference of electricity. All the lights in this room are by AC voltage. That was Nikola Tesla's design. Thomas Edison, if it had his way, everybody would be operating off batteries and generators. Just be honest with you. And so Edison was not a pure inventor. He was a pure designer of improvements. And that's why there's so many patents in Thomas Edison's name. Believe it or not, the one thing that he really helped invent was, of course, the light bulb. But the other thing that he did that was really instrumental was the phonograph. He was very instrumental in those two design things, and also moving pictures. But the reality is that Thomas Edison was a patent. He found out ways to improve upon existing designs. Nikola Tesla was a scientist. He understood things to the nth degree. In fact, we're still just now learning some of the things that he described in books and was never able to perfect before he died. So the thing is, one pursued after pure science and was successful at it. One pursued after improvements and became prosperous for it. You follow the difference? Prosperity means that I envision things in such a way that I'm able to pass it on to someone else. So the reality is that if I gain the entire world and lose my soul, I have maybe found success, but I gain no prosperity. But receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, the greatest prosperity of all is I'm going to be standing with the Lord Jesus Christ when that day comes. But when I really think about prosperity, and this goes into verse 8, notice how it says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." In other words, this is something you live by. I had a man tell me one time, he goes, "You know, when you pray King James." I had no clue what he was talking about. The reality is that I pray as my forefathers before me prayed, but I pray the Word of God. I want it to be stated that I am praying from what God's Word says. But look at this, "It shall not depart out of thy mouth." I need to tell others about Jesus Christ everywhere that I go. "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." we can say, boy, I really want to know more about God, and never open the Bible and never find success. But if you want to have great success in your family, and the greatest success that I saw and the greatest prosperity was that when I would tell my children about Jesus Christ and I would witness to them from the Word of God, I never browbeated my kids to come to know Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. I just told them what the Word of God said, and they come to believe on their own that they needed Jesus Christ as their Savior, and it was a voice of testament that said, I believe. Now, where did that come from? It didn't come from my imagination. It didn't come from my beautiful little stories. It came from the exacting of the Word of God so that they could understand it. It was interesting. I was talking to someone the other day, and they made this statement. They goes, man, you speak Christianese. How many of you realize we speak Christianese? We have a vocabulary all of our own that a lot of people are going, I don't understand. I don't know what you mean by that. So I can say, well, if God wants me to be prosperous, then I rely upon Him. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? But if I tell someone, I learned the Word of God so I know how He wants me to walk, so I know how to act in this world, then indifference, I am now saying, is that I understand how to be like the Lord my God when I read His Word and I see the model. Remember what Philip said to the Lord in John chapter 14? Show us the Father and it sufficeth us. And what's interesting, Jesus looked at him and said, have I been such a long time with you, Philip, that you don't know me? If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Now, Paul turned around and said, follow me as I follow Christ. So if I want to be an example for everyone else to see, then I have to be an emulator. I need to be an example. I need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And that means my thoughts, my words, my actions, my deeds should be a representation of Jesus Christ. Everything. How that I respond to everyone that is around me. And that's not always an easy charge. But now, over here in Joshua chapter 8, and we go down to verse 30, notice that we find this particular action that's going to occur. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord of Israel in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man had lifted any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrifices, peace offerings. Now, let me give you a picture. They're now on the other side. They're on the other side of Jordan. They're in the land of the enemy. And the only place that you can find Ebal and Gerizim is on the promised land side. It wasn't over on the opposite side. And the Lord said, Moses had given the commandment, when you come over, we're going to have a group of people over here. They're going to speak the blessings of God. We're going to have those that are over here. They're going to be speaking the curses of God. And the children of Israel are going to pass through. And as you pass through that, you're going to hear this message. The evil, if you do these things, you're going to find evil. If you do these things, you're going to find good. And I wonder how many times people say, well, as long as I'm following the Lord, I should never be tempted. Where is that written? How many of you have been tempted? I guarantee you, every one of us have. I remember one time I went to this car dealership, and here was a brand new Mazda. Mazdas on themselves never impressed me, and the door opened up this way. It didn't open up, it lifted. Woo! That's cool. And it had a racing seat in it. And it had the racing cockpit in it. And I looked in and went, zoom, zoom. I wanted to get in, and I didn't just want to drive it. I wanted to see if I could fly in it. Even though the limit on the front of the building said 35 miles an hour where that street was, I imagine I could do 85 easily in this car. Was I tempted to go fast? Oh, yes. Did I get in the car? Oh, no. For that very reason. There's other temptations. But every one of us can be tempted. Look what else it says. And he wrote thereon the stones of the copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and the elders and the officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the strangers that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conservant among them. Father, again, I pray that you will bless us now as we spend time around your word and that we might know your presence and your truth. Guide us, dear Father, so that we might grow in this word and that we might do our very best, Lord, with the things that you've given. Open our understanding and guide and bless and direct now, for it's in Christ we pray, and amen. This beginning is only a part of the thing that we have. I want you to see this. I carry in my hand right now 66 books divinely given by the Holy Spirit unto individual men, and they penned as the Holy Spirit gave to them. What's amazing is they wrote in their own tongue, character, and language. And yet it never altered the things of God in the least bit. I have had the privilege all my life of holding the Word of God in my hand. I have the convenience in this world to use my computers to oftentimes read the Word of God. I have my cell phone that I could use to read the Word of God. And yet, many times what happens is we become so neglectful of this book that we lay it aside and we think we know everything. We think that if we sleep on it at night, something will creep into our brain. But the reality is that we can speak all we want about having a close relationship with God, but until we divide our attention and put our direction into knowing the Word of God, we can never benefit from it. I can have it, I can hold it, I can carry it, I can eat off of it and everything else, and it will make nothing to me unless I read it and I meditate upon it and I keep it in my heart. I thought I knew a lot about the Word of God, and then the more that I read it, the more that I find these wonderful little gems that just jump out to me. And it was funny, it was while I was studying Joshua 1 that it finally occurred to me. This is the first congregation of people that have God's Word in hand. I'll let that sink in. Imagine people in Thessalonica, or Corinth, or Rome, or Corinthians, the Corinthian people, and they get a letter from Paul. And when they got this letter from Paul, they're reading it. And for the first time, it became clear to them that they are being given the Word of God to read. Imagine the Ethiopian who had the privilege of handling the book of Isaiah. Have you read the entire book of Isaiah before? That book is amazing in what is in it. It speaks of the birth of Christ. It speaks of the death of Christ. Do you realize we know that Jesus Christ had a beard because of what's written in Isaiah? Nothing else ever refers to him as having a beard. We know how badly beaten he was because of what's written in Isaiah. Nowhere else does it say how badly his visage was wounded. We can find things in the book of Isaiah that if we stop and we meditate upon it, it'll make a big difference. And I know this, is that when I really want to have a relationship with God, I don't come with my preconceived notions. I come wanting Him to teach me. Now, here's the hard part. How many of us are ready to walk on that journey? How many of us really want to make a difference in the world that is around us? You know, I believe that if Jesus had, if He was upon this earth today and said, I want you to go in the upper room and I want you to stay there for a week until the Holy Spirit comes, I wonder how many of us could handle it. Well, I got things to do. I got places to be. I got things I got to get done. The Lord didn't say that. He said, go up there and wait. And you know what you're going to be doing in that waiting time? Praying. How many of us really think that we could pray for any manner of time? Now, I'm going to give you one. We celebrate Thanksgiving. And we enjoyed our Thanksgiving service, right? We had a good time with it. But how many of us know that there was actually a different Thanksgiving that the pilgrims enjoyed when they had entered into a drought that was so severe that they called for together, and they spent the entire day praying, asking God to deliver them from the drought that they had, and they never left the building until they began to hear the rain fall upon the roof. They prayed for over 9 hours. How many of us can handle a 9-hour prayer meeting? How many of you have ever heard of Charles Finney? Charles Finney was right from Ohio. He actually pastored, or he actually preached up at Oberlin College. And the people were really upset because of the great drought that was in the state of Ohio. And they were complaining that God, you know, brought them to this desolate land. And Charles Finney said, I want everybody to come and meet me up at, you know, at Oberlin College. And they said that as the train of people began to come in, whether they were walking or riding their wagons or whatever, that there was a dust that was rolling up in the air. It was so heavily dusty. When it came time for Charles Finney to come out, he walked out and he put his umbrella right there in front of everybody to see. And he goes, I guess I'm the only one that believes that God can bring the rain, because I'm the only one that brought an umbrella. And they said, as he began to preach, off in the distance, they could hear the first rumble of a storm. And as he preached, it got louder and louder and louder. And such was the power of the preaching of the Word of God that finally, when he said, and amen, suddenly there was the great clash of thunder over top of them, and the rain began to fall. You see, we think that we're a powerful people, but are we really? How many of us come to church today expecting that the Lord would be with us and that He would open up the doors, that we would have a great understanding? You've got to know God. But do you have an open to the fictional characters that Charles M. Sheldon had written in the book In His Steps, and how that the pastor had preached such a fervent message, and he goes, and all of those that want to have Christ in their lives to make a difference in your life, meet me in my chambers at the end of the service. I don't know how big the congregation was, but only 4 people showed up. Most of us would be discouraged if only 4 people showed up with an occasion like that. But he said, the Lord will bless. And in that fictional book, that little town was turned upside down because they were asking and seeking the Lord. And would oftentimes ask the question, what would Jesus do before they started? Yes, those little bracelets that you have worn in the past that says WWJD, what would Jesus do, came from that book. Joshua has the Word of God, and just as it was commanded him by Moses to do all that is required, he wrote it down, including the plastering of those stones on Mount Ebal and putting in the Word of God on those stones. You know what's funny is a lot of times people say, well, we don't have to have the Ten Commandments posted. I tell people, you're absolutely right. The Ten Commandments should be posted in my heart. You realize that most of the Ten Commandments are about following the Lord? thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Those were just two of them. The rest of them are moral commands. Not to commit adultery. Not to covet. Not to have another god or, you know, have honor to your parents. All those things should be natural. But we don't want God's word out there in the open where it can be a visible eyesore. Guys, let me tell you something. The word of God was first removed from our homes. Oh, you have the Bible in your homes. But if you want to make it real, open that book. Man, I love it, Randy, when you're sitting there and you're reading that Old Testament and someone said, do you really practice that? I only wish. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. By the way, he maketh me? What do you mean he makes me? I don't want to, but he's going to make sure I do. But then came the question of a little town called Ai. And in verse 1 of chapter 9 it says, and it came to pass when the kings were on this side of Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites, the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight Joshua with Israel with one accord. So let me explain to you about when you focus upon serving the Lord, no one else is going to appreciate it, especially our enemies. And our enemies don't want us following the Lord. Our enemies do not want us concentrating on the Lord, and our enemies do not want us getting closer to the Lord. Oh, you can get as close to God as you want, but don't say anything. Remember what was said in Acts, in the book of Acts to Peter and John? You're going to disturb the people, and we haven't done anything wrong. Yeah, we killed the Messiah, but he rose from the grave according to your word. And so we haven't done anything wrong, so stop bringing the consternation against us. So we're going to just let you go and don't let anything else happen. What did Peter and John do? They went right back and they started preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and continue to see souls saved. The world is going to be happy with you as a Christian as long as you Christ. The world is going to be satisfied who you are as long as you don't tell others. But it took someone like Joshua who understood the commands of God and was willing to stand up for it. And I'll give you an example. When they had crossed the Jordan, they were getting ready to attack Jericho for the first time. Now, you ready for this? They're already on the other side of the Jordan. They're on the enemy side of the land. They're in the promised land now. And Joshua said, you men aren't ready to go to war yet. You got to be circumcised. Circumcised. And he said, make sharp knives and circumcise all the men. Now let me just tell you why that was so important. Joshua believed God, and he believed God could protect them. So while they were on the side of the enemy, they circumcised the men according to the law of God and waited till every man was healed. Why didn't Jericho attack? You got your enemy over here. Let's go attack them. No. You're not going to attack them because God's going to protect you. That same God who separated the children of Israel from the pursuing Pharaoh and his army is the same God that can protect them on this side of the Jordan. Let me tell you something, folks. A preacher and a Christian is immortal. They're invincible until God's done with you. And I'm speaking of this earth. That doesn't mean you should go lay down in the middle of the street and say, well, I believe in God. He's going to hit me. Come on now. Don't be stupid. You get run over. Well, I told you not to do it. But the reality is that I can go into a place and knock on the door and say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me just tell you, we'd love to have you. Let me just tell you that we need to know more about Jesus in our community and not be afraid to tell others of Christ. But while you do, the enemy is going to be waiting. And while the enemy is sitting there waiting, the first thing that's going to occur is the enemy is going to build their forces. Do you think that a political group of people are going to protect you? I've heard so many people that they'll say, well, I'm a Democrat because of this, or I'm a Republican because of that. And I saw this posted the other day that, well, I'm actually for Donald Trump because at least he'll protect our right to assemble. Now, let me tell you something, folks. When finally the person stands up and the rest of the world will agree we need to get rid of Christianity in America, it's going to happen. And the only way to stave it off is for us to start right now. Yes, I'm a Baptist. And yes, I do believe in the Baptist way. Yes, I do believe in the Baptist ministry. But let me just tell you something. Being Baptist alone without a movement behind me is actually nothing but a group of dead people. Excitement is when we sit there and say, I want that mountain. I want to be that Caleb. God promised me that mountain. And you know the promise that I have? I've got this promise that if I go into the world, the Lord's going to give increase. And even though the enemy is out there, well, you shouldn't go out there. I'll tell you what, I pastored up in, you know, the first work I ever had was mission work up in Jackson, Ohio. And I remember one time my Uncle Jack got out of his car and he got his Bible out, had his Bible in his arm, then he started patting himself down. He had locked his keys in the car. And he reached around to open the door of his car and up pulled a police car. They said, what are you doing? He said, well, I was going to meet my brother and my wife and my brother-in-law's wife up at the Village Inn or whatever that is up there. And he goes, and I locked my keys in the car. And they said, well, get in. We'll take you up there. And it was while he was in the police car, they said, we thought you were going to get out and start doing some street preaching. And if that was the case, we're going to arrest you. Little podunk town of Jackson, Ohio. Let me tell you something. On the streets of Jackson, Ohio, they have drug deals going down all the time. And the police officers stand by and did nothing. But the Word of God was a threat to them? You think America is safe? It's time we start going around before it's too late. Before you pass from this life, will you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? The enemy is around us. The enemy is right here, folks. And Satan is alive and well on planet Earth. But the greatest risk, now hear me out, the greatest risk is not Satan. It's ourselves. And when Christians are not being obedient to the things of God, we're our own worst enemy. You know what scares me? As I drive by and I see all these empty church buildings. I was sitting there and I was listening to the prayer list as it was being read off, and I heard about Gary Bills. And I thought, you know, was a time that we might have sighed because we couldn't go see Gary, or that we had to go see him because he was in the hospital. Now we can't even go see him because the law says we're going to keep you out of our building so you can't come in and pray. That's scary. That's very scary. But we are blessed because we have phones. We can call him and say, Brother Gary, I want you to know we're going to pray for you right now. Can we pray over the phone? We can encourage Phyllis and say, hey, we're going to pray with you and we're praying for Gary. We can encourage Gary's wife by saying we're going to pray for you as well. Oh, folks, let me tell you something. It's time we as believers get real with God's word. And if we are going to get real, the enemy around us are going to fall away because the power of my God is greater. I want that mountain. But there's giants in that mountain. Watch those giants topple. Well, there's a complacent giant. I want my complacency gone. Well, there's a giant that is against the word of God. Then his battle's not with me, it's with God. There's a giant that says that I'm too lazy. My battle is not with that giant. My battle is saying, Lord, give me a heart that no matter what, I want to be in the house of God. I want that mountain. Do you want to be with me on this journey? Would you like to be different? Would you like to see a difference? Oh, I'm too old. I can't do... Who said you're too old? Joshua was 85 when he went into battle to take that mountain. Joshua did not give up until the Lord said, it's time for you to come home. And he was 110 years of age. I say this, if God, how many of us want long life? Come on. I'll say it. I'd like to have some long life. What are you going to do with it if God gives it to you? If it's to do nothing, why should God give it to you? But if it's to take the mountain for God, why shouldn't he give it to us? Do you want to know more about Jesus? Would you like to walk more faithfully with him? Then let us ask him to lead us and direct as we pray. Now, Father, we do thank you for this morning, and we pray that this message will find its place in heart. Help us, dear Father, to walk ever so faithfully before you and just continue to lead and direct, and we will rejoice in your name. So, Lord, if there's anyone, even in listening on Facebook, Father, listening to a live stream, or here amongst us that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then, Father, let them at this moment not be afraid to ask, but to seek direction and care for their very lives. And, Lord, that they may come to ask, what must I do to be saved? And may your people not be afraid to say, thus saith the Lord. So guide and bless us now, Father, and may we walk faithfully in you. In Christ we pray. Amen. Brother Randy, would you come forward and conclude this services with us?
Two.